Dark but lovely is such a good phrase for the two parts of the gospel, for we are both dark and lovely. We are so sinful that Christ had to go to the cross for us, yet we are so loved that he did. In the beginning of our relationship with him, we are often very aware of our unworthiness, of being as dark as the tents of Kedar. The tents belong to a nomadic tribe associated with Ishmael, who was outside the presence of God. And yet, despite our feelings of unworthiness, we have a faint song in our hearts. From where did that come? This is how Brent Curtis and John Eldridge put it in The Sacred Romance. Someone, or something, has romanced us from the beginning, with creekside singers and pastel sunsets, with the austere majesty of snow-capped mountains and the poignant flames of autumn colors, telling us of something or someone leaving with a promise to return. There is a great king who loves us and has the power to make us as beautiful as the curtains of Solomon. The only curtain in Solomon's temple was next to the Holy of Holies, next to the presence of God. See Exodus chapter 26, verse 33, and 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 14. Because of Christ's sacrificial love, it is possible for us to come near to a holy God without fear. And so the gospel is our own Cinderella story. Because of our sin nature, we are as dark as the tents of Kedar, far from the presence of God. Yet because of Christ, we can be made as lovely as the curtains of Solomon, cleansed and invited into the presence of a holy God. And how God loves to woo us into his presence. He is always the one who initiates the dance. We may think it is we who choose him, but we could not, for we are too dark, too depraved to choose him. We are dead in our sins, and a dead person cannot do anything. So let us abandon the pride that makes us think that because we are smarter or more sensitive than the average person, we somehow choose God. Instead, he reaches down into the deep waters and draws out our lifeless bodies, breathes life into us, and then irresistibly woos us into the dance. For each of us, this wooing, this invitation to the dance, is different. Some respond quite quickly, while others take a long time. Before the foundation of the world, his spirit was hovering over each person who would be his, who one day would respond to his invitation to the dance. We may not have been aware of his spirit hovering over us, yet when we look back on our lives, we can see his work. Lauren Winner puts it like this: sometimes, as in a great novel, you cannot see until you get to the end that God was leaving clues for you all along. Sometimes you wonder, how did I miss it? Surely any idiot should have been able to see from the second chapter that it was Miss Scarlet in the conservatory with the rope. How did he awaken you? Recording artist Sarah Groves sings of a young woman lying on her back in the grass, looking up at the stars, wondering if there is a loving God. I had a fifth grade school teacher, Miss Colander, who loved Jesus. I never forgot her kindness or how radiant she became when she talked about Jesus. I sometimes sense when God's spirit is hovering over someone, wooing her. I tentatively say something about what Jesus is doing in my life, and she lights up, telling me of a sister.